This is Generations Friends, Kevin Swanson with you, Executive Director of Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. But the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five, and we homeschool our children out here on the eastern plains of Colorado. So is Dave. He lives about 10 minutes southwest of me. And we get together down here in my basement about once every day or so, and we take a look at the zoo. And today, just more news from the zoo. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about some pretty intense stuff, because when you look at what's happening in the zoo, that is the other part of the world, amazing things happening. Amazing things happening. That good Republican man out in California, remember Schwarzenegger, the guy all the Republicans loved and elected. Now he's signed SB 777. And this is a bad bill. You can't refer to mom and dad in California schools anymore. Yeah, the terms mom and dad are out. And boys now allowed in girls' bathrooms. And if you're a girl, you want to go into the boys' bathroom, that's just fine. And homecoming queens can be boys or girls, either way. Kings, well, same thing. And the bill bans anything in public schools that could be perceived as negative towards homosexuality, bisexuality, and transvestism. Pro-family folks obviously not happy about this. A lot of quotes here in this World Net Daily article on the same topic. We are shocked and appalled that the governor has blatantly attacked traditional family values in California. I don't know why she's so shocked. They've been doing that for the last 10 years, well, since Schwarzenegger's been governor. With this decision, Governor Schwarzenegger has told parents that their values are irrelevant. Many parents will have no choice but to pull their children out of the public schools. Okay. So what else is new, Dave? What else is new? Arnold Schwarzenegger has delivered young children into the hands of those who will introduce them to alternative sexual lifestyles, says Randy Thompson, president of Campaign for Children and Families, which worked to defeat the plans. This means children as young as 5 years old will be mentally molested in school classrooms. Shame on Schwarzenegger and the Democrat politicians for ensuring that every California school becomes a homosexual, bisexual, transsexual indoctrination center, he said. To which we say, hey, wait a minute, you guys voted for this Republican. Dave, didn't the Republicans vote for the Republican? I'm thinking back to those elections. This is who they voted for. This is what pragmatism does, friends. When you want to vote for the better of two evils, what do you get? Evil. Hello, this is evil. And what you get is evil. Dave, what else can we say? I mean, welcome to the real world, guys. You voted for him.
Well, he's not Gray Davis, as I recall. No, Gray Davis was recalled. Maybe they recalled the wrong guy. I remember that they were running a conservative Republican, but they didn't think he had a chance of winning. I guess at least the car taxes aren't as high.
Yeah, all 52% of the Republicans that voted for Schwarzenegger didn't think the other guy could win. Well, that's what pragmatism is all about, and when a nation runs on pragmatism, that's the direction it heads. Analysts have warned that schools across the nation will be impacted by the decision, since textbook publishers must cater to their largest purchaser, which happens to be California, and they will be unlikely to go to the expense of having a separate edition for other states. What SB 777 does is reverse discrimination against students with religious and traditional family values, says Meredith Turney. These students have lost their voice as the direct result of Governor Schwarzenegger's unbelievable decision. The terms mom and dad or husband and wife could promote discrimination against homosexuals if a same-sex couple is not also featured. And Dave, what would happen? I got to thinking about this. What would happen if the Homosexual Tax Task Force meets with the California Department of Education textbook providers? They're going to have to put together a list of words that would be banned. Okay, so the sort of words you cannot use in California schools anymore would, of course, be mom and dad. I think that makes sense, because mom and dad infers that you have a female and a male together in a household, you know, the thing that God designed some 6,000 years ago, that kind of thing. So you wouldn't want that sort of thing. Hubby, a husband, wife, wifey poo, you know, any of those terms would be, I think, off limits in California schools.
I think you have to use the word parental unit. You have to sound like Dan Aykroyd in the Coneheads.
Yeah, exactly. The parental unit. Or how about apple pie? See, the problem with apple pie, you know what it connotes, Dave? You know what apple pie connotes?
Baseball, hot dog,
it's
America.
It's the connotation, man. Apple pie is no longer allowed in schools. And family, the word family. Why would you have that? Reminds us of Don Wildman and James Dobson, and no one would want that in California schools. Nursing babies was another term I thought. You know, why would you want that? Homosexuals hate that term, I think, for obvious reasons. Nursing babies, not going to happen. Nursing,
nursing babies, probably not going to happen in Colorado schools. Fornication, I don't think they would want to use that word. That's discriminatory.
Well, it's judgmental.
It's judgmental. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about perversion? Well, I mean, there's no such thing. I mean, come on, if you're homosexual,
you got to have a standard to pervert.
Yeah, exactly. So, or Sodom. It brings back too many memories.
Yes, yes.
Bad memories.
Hot summer.
Yeah. All right, moving on, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the key, Dave. Here's what's going to happen. We have not yet to reap the whirlwind on this. This is just the beginning. And the reason is because our ultimate ethic is pragmatism. Our ethic is not God's law anymore. We're a nation of pragmatists. And that especially applies to conservatives and Republicans. Conservatives are pragmatists. And because conservatives are pragmatists, conservatives have guaranteed to lose this battle. They will lose. They know they're going to lose because they have adopted pragmatism. They've abandoned God's law as the ultimate source for human ethics, and therefore we are predestined to a continued slide into Gomorrah as long as we are pragmatists. And Dave, until the church is willing to preach from Leviticus with courage and conviction, I don't think we're ever going to see any change in our national politics. It begins with the church, and it's very, very, very rare to run into a pastor with the guts to preach the law of God out of Leviticus as if it was an eternal standard, as if God has a right to establish an absolute standard. So until the churches change, I think we're destined to this pragmatic approach, and we're going to slide into Gomorrah, all the way down into Gomorrah.
Well, the problem is in the name. They are there to conserve. That is, they're to yield less ground. They're not there to take ground. They're not there to advance. They're there to conserve. So the name itself betrays a sort of retreat mentality, or at least retreat slowly mentality. I'm only there to maintain the standard, the status quo, even if the status quo is evil. If they were truly Christian and they feared God, the one thing they would have to realize is that making God upset when you live on a fault is a really bad idea.
And Dave, that's one of the reasons I cannot stand the word conservative. I don't call myself a conservative. I think it's been 15 years since I've called myself a conservative. What do we have to conserve? I mean, are we just trying to establish a little less of the evil than whatever the liberals like? No. I think we ought to radically reform society according to God's word. And I don't hear that from quote-unquote conservatives. The other thing is the family is almost decimated in America. You have 37% of boys born without fathers up from 6% in 1960. And Dave, you know that fatherhood is utterly destroyed. I mean, utterly gone. For all intents and purposes, fatherhood doesn't exist anymore. Unless we have a radical, and I mean radical, ladies and gentlemen, a radical reformation among fathers, this homosexual issue will be 7 times worse in about 10 years from now. Guaranteed. Gonna happen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, want to talk a little bit more about what's happening in the zoo. Gonna talk about college, the college scene. When we get back, this is an article from Christianity Today we want to look at. Dorm brothel, the new debauchery in colleges that let it happen. That next on Generations. We'll be back in a moment.
With literacy rates falling and American schools approaching third world nation status in math and science, parents everywhere are concerned, and they're getting involved. That's why tens of thousands of families across the state of Colorado have turned to home education. For over 20 years, Christian Home Educators of Colorado has hosted an annual conference designed to encourage and inspire families anywhere along the path, from beginners to veteran homeschoolers. Throughout the year, they offer special introductory seminars, retreats, graduations, a news magazine, and a satellite school to aid in the required record keeping. CHECK also offers a bookstore complete with the best resources, tapes, and curriculum, all of which has been carefully chosen to equip and supplement your homeschool program. To learn more about CHECK, visit their website at chec.org.
Back on Generations, friends. Kevin Swanson with you. And today, looking at what's happening in the zoo, this is not our world. This is weird stuff. But, unfortunately, Dave, a lot of people are still in the zoo, and they don't understand they're in the zoo. Hey, this is from smartmoney.com, 10 things campus security won't tell you. The college experience has been cast as a period of intellectual growth and personal exploration, but in reality, it's also a time when many young women are victimized. 1 in 8, for example, will be stalked during their college years. according to a professor of criminal justice at the University of Cincinnati. Yet few schools go the distance in training campus counselors to help stalking victims or have enough for round-the-clock protection, and that's when the stalking gets reported. 83% of stalked female students don't report the crime to police, et cetera, et cetera. And here's another story that comes from Christianity Today, Dorm Brothel, the new debauchery in the colleges that let it happen. This is written by a professor of theology at Loyola College, and his name is Vigen Gurion, and he says that sending your children to American colleges may be the near equivalent of committing their sons and daughters to one of the circles of Dante's Inferno. He says that this is a reality that most parents are not willing to face. He speaks of a host of issues, namely the loss of manly virtue. It's a sex carnival where the institutional arrangements that protected young women are gone, making students more vulnerable to sexual abuse. Here's a quote. Since my student years, says Gurion, colleges have abandoned all the arrangements that society had once put in place to protect the weaker sex, so they could say no and have a place to retreat if young men pressed them too far. And although even when these arrangements were in place, one could not always say with confidence that the girl is the victim and the boy the offender, the contemporary climate makes the identifying predator and prey even trickier. And Dave, he is right here. You know, there are some studies that say rape is way up in college campuses, and there's others that say, hey, it's non-existent. And the reason for the debate here on whether rape is happening or not is nobody really knows if it's rape because everybody's out there mating like rats anyway. So how do you know if a rat raped another rat? How would you determine that? You know, you ever had a rat complain of being raped?
No, I haven't had a rat complain. But then I don't keep rats. One of the problems here is the definition of rape. Rape has come to mean a lot of things. In my mind, it's forced sex typically on a woman, almost always on a woman, but it is against her consent. The scriptures talk about she needs to scream to say that she does not want this to happen. It's typically a violent act. It's now been redefined as mourning after regret. Yeah. I didn't feel really good about it. He didn't kiss very well, and so I didn't want it to happen now that I think about it. And so part of the problem is the definition. The other bigger problem, though, is that women are not protecting their chastity and their purity anyway. I mean, they're out there flaunting it, giving it away. When you're giving out free samples, it's hard to say if somebody was stealing.
Yeah, exactly. A friend of mine was on an airline on a business trip one time. The guy sitting next to him was a father, and he was heading out to a college where his daughter had just been raped. And Dave, you know, again and again I ask the question, what kind of a father would send his daughter into a place where there are far more rapes happening than the place in which he works? What kind of father would send his child to a school where there is no protection for her? Dave, I don't think there's fathers being fathers either. Again, we have the breakdown of fatherhood happening here. And at the same time, what we have is a culture that our colleges incubate and maintain, says this guy. Everyone is a guy. Everyone is familiar. Young men or young women who have never seen anyone of the opposite sex naked or in underwear other than family members now must get used to being seen by and seeing others, perfect strangers, in just such a state. Everyone is available to everyone else. It would be antisocial not to be. Dave, what you got here is intimacy happening without relationship whatsoever. There's no manners that maintain a sense of modesty and healthy distance. And you know what? Maybe this begins in K-12 California schools. You know, we just talked about how boys and girls can use each other's restrooms and locker rooms, etc. I mean, who cares anymore? People are just, there is no sense of distance, modesty, purity. People are just dragging their sexuality through the mud. And so in the end, there is, you know, nothing beautiful anymore.
Well, there certainly isn't any kind of protection or purity. Let's face it, if the college campus were a somewhat righteous place, we would not have co-ed dorms. In fact, the women's dorm might be guarded by a person with arms, with a sidearm. No men allowed. Women would be escorted around campus. They would be at least in a buddy system when they go to class and other sorts of things. It used to be, in this country even, that when a woman traveled, she always had an escort to protect her purity. There was always two witnesses there. So you wouldn't send your woman with just a man that you trusted. It would be at least two women or a family or some other situation where her purity and her reputation could be well guarded. We don't even care about the reputation. In fact, the worse the reputation now, I think the more popular the girl.
But why not, Dave? What's the problem? Why do we lack a sense of honor, purity, modesty, these sorts of things? Is it the fact that fathers just plain old-fashioned hate their daughters? they don't love their daughters. In other words, I'm saying, when I say hate, I mean they don't love their daughters. If fathers loved their daughters, they probably wouldn't be like Lot. Remember Lot in the town of Sodom when this homosexual mob was beating at the door? He said, hey, I'll toss my daughters out, and that'll feed them for a while. You know, are fathers that horrible in their lack of love for their daughters and their disinterest in their daughters?
Kevin, I think that as society slides to Gomorrah, men, although they desire women, they begin to hate them. They begin not to love them. Bitterness between a husband and a wife, because the woman is constantly titillating men and perhaps not following up on the promise of the titillation, et cetera, because they become competitors for work and economic gain instead of people who co-labor together. There becomes a battle of the sexes, and when the battle of the sexes come and manifests itself in a society, I think fathers start to not love their daughters in the tender manner that God designed them to.
And I wonder if the college campus is that city of anonymity that we speak of. Dave, you know, we have spoken of the fact that children are raised in homes and there tends to be protection and accountability in those situations. And yet you're introduced to the large college campus where there's some 12,000, 15,000, 16,000 students. Now you're in the city of unaccountability. Now you're in the city of anonymity. There you are. You are no longer accountable. Nobody really, really cares about you. There isn't a professor in your life that would walk up to you and say, son, are you staying pure? How's your thought life? You know, are you staying away from fornication? My guess is the average college professor could care less about the character and the faith of his students. It fosters this entire concept of the modern city where we live with a sense of anonymity, and there is no real sense of relationship. There is no discipleship going on here. The modern college campus just is not what God intends when God says we are to bring our children up in the paideia of Christ, and what God intended in the book of Proverbs, where character is the very heart of education. It's not to be separated from it. It's not to be seen as the ice cream on the cake. It's not to be seen as something separate. It is infiltrates the whole educational process, and yet the average college campus doesn't understand this form of education. It's the wrong philosophy of education, Dave.
Or maybe they do understand it and they're just opposed to it. One of the problems that you have, well, my college experience was that it was rare to find a professor who had any time at all for any student. He wasn't even teaching classes. He just as soon have an assistant so he could go on and do his research, get published, and change the ideas of the world. That was the attitude of most of the tenured professor staff, so you didn't have that much contact with professors to begin with. But secondly, the whole idea of the scholastic university is that no ideas are right, no ideas are wrong. We must approach all with neutrality. Well, of course, as soon as you say you can approach righteousness or character or God with neutrality, you have done the very sin that Adam and Eve did, and you are reliving that sin in the garden. You are becoming as God, judging what God said was good and bad for yourself.
Dave, you know what I'm struggling with right now is whether I would send my daughters to college. You know, my daughters are 7 to 14 years of age, so they're not quite there yet. You have younger daughters yourself, and I am struggling with this notion as to whether I really want to send my daughters to college. Now, let's put one thing to bed right away, and that is that my daughters are going to get as good of an education as my son's going to get. I don't believe that daughters get a substandard form of education. Nevertheless, I do believe that most college education today is substandard. That's precisely what I've been saying. I'm saying is that, hey, whatever they're getting in college is a substandard. Now, I happen to think that our children, by the time they're 18 or 19 years of age, ought to be able to be better readers and writers than your average college graduate. Dave, you think I'm asking too much? I mean, you've talked to some college graduates, haven't you, coming out of the 1990s and the 2000s. And what you find is these people are not well educated. They can't communicate. They can't bring ideas to bear. They can't debate issues. They can't comprehend texts, prose from some of the better classical writers. Dave, I read classical writers to my children out loud. Right now we're reading Augustine's Confessions. It is tough reading, but my children are understanding it. They're learning to understand some of the tougher classical writers. And yet I think the average college graduate would have a hard time understanding what Augustine is saying in his Confessions. And here's the other thing with colleges. You know, they're not going to provide an education with focused on character, relationships, life integration, these sorts of things. And if colleges don't provide that, Dave, then I think we need to impose that on that post K-12 education. We have got to impose our worldview, our view, our philosophy of education upon that college education process. And the way we do it, I mean, we may have to use online classes. I mean, thank the Lord, there's online stuff happening now. We may have to take into account maybe a weekend seminar or a week-long seminar on one particular topic where we go with our children to this thing, and we maybe introduce a mentor into our children's lives. I mean, maybe that's appropriate. We've talked about mentorship on this program a couple of times. What about imposing mentorship upon that college education where they're taking some college classes in the morning, maybe at home, maybe online, whatever. Okay, they're getting the academics. They're getting good academics. And yet in the afternoon, they're spending time with the very best veterinarian, or they're spending time with the very best Christian attorney you can find, and getting excellent mentorship over 4, 5, 6 years of college preparation. And by the time they're graduated, they will be relevant to real life. And so again, what we're saying is if our children are going to get higher education, we have got to do something else. We've got to impose our system upon it. You don't just pick the next college out there and send them out to that dorm and expect somehow them to come back with great faith, strong faith, a great worldview, a tremendous mentorship and preparation for life, sexual purity and all that. Chances are that's not going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, unless you as fathers and mothers right now take a vital interest in your children's lives. And Dave, maybe it begins when our children are still 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of age. Maybe it begins right there when parents begin to make a conscious decision concerning their children's education rather than just turning them over to the next professional who comes down and says, hey, you need to public educate your children down here at this school. I hear it's pretty good. What we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is taking your children out of the system and creating your own system. That is the only way we are going to salvage our children in this slide to Gomorrah. Gotta happen. And I'm talking to moms and dads. You have responsibility before God to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Lord places that right at the feet of fathers. You are responsible before God, and the CEO of the universe is going to have you in the front office if you don't raise those children rightly. Doesn't matter who you delegate the education to. If you've messed it up, he's going to have you in the front office, and he's going to correct the situation right then and there. Ladies and gentlemen, let me encourage you right now to take an active role in the education of your children. Make those choices. Make good choices today. God holds you responsible for it. And that is why I wrote the book Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. I'd encourage you to get this book. It just goes into God's Word and finds out what God expects. Hey, if the CEO of the universe holds you responsible, what are his expectations? Well, they're written down in the Bible, specifically in the book of Proverbs. And I have culled these out, and I presented them in my book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. Again, you need to get a copy of this book. You can get it by calling our office, 877-842-CHECK. It's toll-free, 877-842-CHECK. Call today, 877-842-CHECK, for your copy of Upgrade. And folks, you can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. Let me invite you to invite your friends and family members anywhere in the world to listen to us at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.